morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lays behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Reverend Fred Craddock tells a story of a missionary family in China who was forced to leave the country sometime after the communists took over. One day, a band of soldiers knocked on the door and told the missionary, his wife, and children that they had 2 hours to pack up before these troops would escort them to the train station. They would be permitted to take with them only 200 pounds of stuff. Thus began 2 hours of family wrangling and bickering. What should they take? What about this vase? It's a family heirloom, so we've got to take the vase. Well, maybe so. But this typewriter is brand new, and we're not about to leave that behind. What about some books? Got to take a few of those along. On and on it went, putting stuff on the bathroom scale and taking it off, until finally they had a pile of possessions that totaled 200 pounds on the dot. At the appointed hour, the soldiers returned. Are you ready? They asked. Yes. Did you weigh your stuff? Yes, we did. 200 pounds? Yes, 200 pounds on the dot. Did you weigh the kids? No. Weigh the kids. And in an instant, the vase, the typewriter, and the books all became trash. Trash. None of it meant anything compared to the surpassing value of the children. The moment of truth. We all have them. Usually they crash into our lives. And suddenly, what previously had been so valuable to us is now happily left behind. The Apostle Paul had a moment of truth that is hard to top. Paul was a stalwart defender of the Jewish faith, even to the point of becoming a vehement persecutor of the church of Christians. Acts chapter 9 tells us that on his way to Damascus to arrest some Christians, Paul was struck down right there on the road by a bolt of lightning. Then he heard the voice of Jesus asking him why he was persecuting him. Several verses later, it is recorded that the Lord said, "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And suffer he did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my own countrymen, and from Gentiles. In the danger in the city, in the country, at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked." Oh yes, Paul knew what it meant to suffer for his faith in Jesus. Now in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he's warning the new Christians against those who claim that the Jewish law still had to be observed by the Christians. Paul says that if anyone thinks he can be saved by observing the law, it should be him. He had all the credentials. Paul says, "I was born a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. I am as Jewish as one can be. I was circumcised 8 days after birth according to the law. I was a Pharisee and I obeyed every letter of the law. I was even a persecutor of the church." In the ancient Mediterranean world, one's social status was determined by one's honor, and Paul had it all. Now Paul writes that all the attributes of honor that were so important to him, he now considers rubbish compared to attaining the righteousness that comes from God by faith in Christ. The Greek word skubalon, translated here as rubbish, is actually a much stronger word. This is the only place in the entire Bible where this word occurs, and it's a raw, gross, barnyard-type word that refers to manure. The revelation that God's own Son had to die to secure salvation for us turned Paul's world upside down. And to think, Paul writes, that at one time I thought handing God this pile of manure was going to pay for my entrance to the kingdom of God. Paul comes to understand that what is important is not that God knows what you have done, but that you know what God has done. You see, Jesus is the one who had it all. Jesus is the one who gave up everything for us. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, Paul writes that Christ Jesus, who being in his very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So if we cannot do anything to earn righteousness, what shall we do with all of this? Well, Paul says it plainly, verses 13b and 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice this goal has three parts. First, forget what lies behind. Do not get stuck in the past. Jesus has redeemed you from your past and bought you a future with his love. John 8, verse 36, those whom the Son has set free are free indeed. Second, it says to strain forward. Pressing forward with Jesus takes some work. You have to confront your fears and choose Christ over them. He will stretch you, but you can trust the process. And third, press on toward the goal of the heavenly calling. Followers of Jesus are not obsessed with being good people like so many others these days. Our goal is God, not good. Obsession with our goodness is narcissism. We cannot make ourselves good. It is only possible to achieve righteousness by losing ourselves in Christ. So we press on with Jesus, wherever we may be and wherever he takes us, pressing on with a God that is beyond our asking or imagining. A God who came among us gently, lived wonderfully, taught truthfully, died violently, has risen triumphantly, empowers generously, and remains our companion steadfastly. No words can contain it. No effort can attain it. Shame on us if we constrain it. The best thing is to proclaim it. That is the whole point. Proclaim Christ as he who conquered death. Proclaim Christ as your Savior. Proclaim Christ as Lord of all. Let us pray. Ever-living God, whose will it is that all should come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, inspire our witness to him, that all may know the power of his forgiveness and the hope of his resurrection. Amen.